يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان ومن يتبع خطوات الشيطان فإنه يأمر بالفحشاء والمنكر ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته ما زكى منكم من أحد أبدا ما زكى منكم من أحد أبدا ولكن الله يزكي من يشاء والله سميع عليم.
Believers, do not follow in Satan's footsteps. He who follows in Satan's footsteps, let him remember that Satan bids people to indecency and evil. Were it not for Allah's bounty and His mercy unto you, not one of you would have ever attained purity. But Allah enables whomsoever He wills to attain purity. Allah is all-hearing, all-knowing. Believers, do not follow in Satan's footsteps. He who follows in Satan's footsteps, let him remember that Satan bids people to indecency and evil. Were it not for Allah's bounty and His mercy unto you, not one of you would have ever attained purity. Satan is determined to bog man down in the filth of evil. Had God, out of His sheer grace and benevolence, not made what is good distinct from what is evil, and had He not shown man the right way, and enabled him to reform himself accordingly, no one would have been able to purify his own life merely on the basis of his native endowments. But Allah enables whomsoever He wills to attain purity. Allah is all-hearing, all-knowing. God does not arbitrarily endow people with the ability to purify themselves. Rather, He does so on the basis of His knowledge as to who sincerely seeks the right way and who seeks error. So pervasive is God's knowledge that He hears what people say in their own privacy, and He knows the ideas that cross a man's mind. Hence, God decides on a sound and solid basis whom He enables to purify Himself and whom He does not.
ولا يأتل أولو الفضل منكم والسعة أن يؤتوا أولي القربى والمساكين والمهاجرين في سبيل الله وليعفوا وليصفحوا ألا تحبون أن يغفر الله لكم وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ.
Let those among you who are bounteous and resourceful not swear to withhold giving to the kindred, to the needy, and to those who have forsaken their homes in the cause of Allah. Rather, let them forgive and forbear. Do you not wish that Allah should forgive you? Allah is ever forgiving, merciful. Let those among you who are bounteous and resourceful not swear to withhold giving to the kindred, to the needy, and to those who have forsaken their homes in the cause of Allah. Rather, let them forgive and forbear. Do you not wish that Allah should forgive you? Allah is ever forgiving, merciful.
Aisha reports that after her exoneration by the Quran, Abu Bakr discontinued the financial help he provided to Mistah ibn Uthatha. This he did because Mistah showed neither consideration for kinship nor felt ashamed in acting so wickedly towards his daughter, despite Abu Bakr's munificence to him and his family. It was against this backdrop that the above verse was revealed. On hearing it, Abu Bakr instantly cried out, "Yes, Allah, we do want you, our Lord, to forgive us." He then resumed his financial help to Mistah and did so on an even bigger scale. According to Abdullah ibn Abbas, some other companions, in addition to Abu Bakr, vowed not to extend any help to those who had taken part in the slander campaign. But after the revelation of this verse, they too recanted their vow. Thus the bitterness and hostility which had been engendered by the slander campaign instantly dissipated. Here we may also consider a legal question. If someone takes a vow and later realizes that there is no good in it, should he honor the vow or break it and make expiation for it? According to some jurists, such expiation, kafara, is not required. That a person opts for that which is good in itself constitutes the expiation for breaking the vow. They support this opinion by referring to this verse and point out that God directed Abu Bakr to break his vow without asking him to make any expiation for so doing. Moreover, they cite the following statement made by the Prophet, peace be upon him, in support of their view. If someone vows and later realizes that the other option is better, he should go for the better option, and that constitutes its expiation. Another group of jurists, however, refer to the categorical injunctions of the Quran about breaking a vow. See Al-Baqarah 2:225 and Al-Ma'idah 5:89. The verse under discussion neither abrogates nor categorically modifies this injunction. Hence, it should be considered as still being in force. Moreover, in the verse under discussion, God asked Abu Bakr to break his vow, but he did not specify that he was exempt from the expiation necessitated by such an act. As for the Prophet's statement, it implies that the sin incurred by making an improper vow is atoned for by opting for that which is better. The statement does not mean, though, that if one adopts the preferable option, one need not expiate oneself for breaking the vow. In another hadith, the Prophet, peace be upon him, says, "He who vows and later realizes that something is better than that, he should follow what is better and make expiation for his broken vow." We thus learn that expiation for breaking a vow is one thing, but expiation for the sin of not doing good is quite another. Taking a better option when one realizes that such is available in preference to what one had vowed constitutes the expiation for the earlier mistake. As for the expiation for breaking one's vow, this is laid down in the Quran.
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ الْغَافِلَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ لُعِنُوا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ
Those that accuse chaste, unwary, believing women of unchastity have been cursed in the world and the hereafter, and a mighty chastisement awaits them.
Those that accuse chaste, unwary. The word ghafilat is used in this verse to characterize believing women who have been subjected, despite their excellent character, to outrageous accusations. They're described here as simple, straightforward, honorable, and decent women who are void of all the cunning that characterizes women of bad character. They are essentially so good that they are not even aware of devious ways of corruption and how people go about them. Being essentially good, they are unable to imagine that people would make them targets of outrageous accusations of sexual misconduct. The Prophet, peace be upon him, branded the slandering of chaste women as among the seven deadly sins. A tradition in Tabarani on the authority of Udhaifa mentions that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "To slander a chaste woman nullifies all one's good deeds of 100 years."
يَوْمَ تَشْهَدُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَلْسِنَتُهُمْ وَأَيْدِيهِمْ وَأَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ
Let them not be heedless of the day when their own tongues, their hands, and their feet shall all bear witness against them in regard to what they have been doing. Let them not be heedless of the day when their own tongues, their hands, and their feet shall all bear witness against them in regard to what they have been doing.
For further details, see Tafhim al-Quran, Volume 4, Yasin 36, Note 55, and Fusilat.
41, Note 25.
On that day, Allah will justly requite them, and they will come to know that Allah and He alone is the truth, the one who makes the truth manifest.
الخبيثات للخبيثين والخبيثون للخبيثات والطيبات للطيبين والطيبون للطيبات أولئك كَذَلِكَ مُبَرَّؤُونَ مِمَّا يَقُولُونَ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَرِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ
Corrupt women are for corrupt men, and corrupt men for corrupt women. Good women are for good men, and good men for good women. They are innocent of the calumnies people utter. There shall be forgiveness for them and a generous provision. Corrupt women are for corrupt men, and corrupt men for corrupt women. Good women are for good men, and good men for good women. They are innocent of the calumnies people utter.
This verse expounds a general principle that evil men and evil women make a good match. Likewise, righteous men are instinctively drawn towards righteous women in their choice of life partners. Anyone who is disposed towards evil never stops at doing just one evil act. Instead, his conduct and habits embrace the whole gamut of evil that supports and nourishes him. For it's not possible for evil to overtake someone who is otherwise a good person. It is inconceivable for evil to suddenly burst forth from a man whose general conduct and pattern of behavior display no indications of it. This psychological fact about people is well known. Now, how can anyone believe that a man of such outstandingly excellent character as the Prophet, peace be upon him, would put up with and have tender feelings for a woman guilty of gross sexual misconduct? It is therefore all the more surprising that some Muslims gave credence to a report which insinuated that someone as pure as the Prophet, peace be upon him, had put up with such a woman. How could the Prophet spend such a long time with her, and yet her ways, her gait, her mode of conversation, and her gestures not betray her true character? By the same token, is it conceivable that a man possessed of purity of soul and excellent moral character would live happily with a woman of such low character? This point is made so as to caution Muslims against blindly accepting similar charges in the future. In other words, they would be well advised to critically look into the conduct of the accused, to consider the nature of the accusation, and to arrive at some judgment as to whether the incident reported could indeed have taken place or not. There should at least be some prima facie ground for the charge that is made. A report cannot be given credence simply on the basis that it has been narrated by someone. If there is some ground for the accusation, one may believe it, or at any rate regard it as within the range of possibilities. But if something strange is reported, something for which there seems no supporting basis, it should not be accepted merely because someone, who at any rate might be a fool or scoundrel, has reported it. Some commentators of the Quran interpret the present verse to mean that evil things are for evil people, meaning thereby that all evil things are worthy of evil people. Conversely, good things behove good people, implying that they are to be exonerated of the evil acts attributed to them by their opponents. Other scholars consider this verse to mean that evil deeds are done by evil people, whereas good deeds are worthy of being done by good people. Good people are far above the level of evil conduct that is ascribed to them by evil people. Other scholars interpret the verse to mean that evil deeds are committed by evil people and good deeds by good people. Good people cannot engage in the evil deeds which are ascribed to them by slanderers. All these meanings may be derived from this verse. It appears, however, that the first meaning is the correct one, especially in view of the context in which it occurs.